most gracious and merciful, God Almighty, creator and sustainer, wondrous giver of life and all good. What a blessed privilege it is to realize that it's you who've called us together this evening. You who've been holding us together through all the circumstances of our lives while we grow. And you who feed us with your word. Lord, help us quiet down, become open, receptive, to listen with our hearts, to feed on your word, that we might become the people you've created us to be, that we might become the people we hunger to be. Move in every one of us in an obvious and unmistakable way to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who always hears and answers our every prayer. We pray this in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Staying in that place of deep rest. Now, we'll now rest with God and His Word on this Wednesday of Holy Week. So, listening, keeping the mind open and relaxed, we listen to these words as though they are spoken to us as they are by the Holy Spirit for our transformation in Christ. Listening for just a word or a phrase that speaks to you this evening. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord. Psalm 69. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. For your sake I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Lord, in your great love, answer me. I will praise the name of God in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For God hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Hail to you, our King. You alone are compassionate with our errors. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord.
At the turn of the century, as we entered into the 1900s, the sun never set on the British Empire. There had never been so powerful a military machine, so a universally occupying force as the British. They owned the world. They had all the guns. And they occupied as a sovereign, as a vassal state, India, which they referred to as the jewel in the crown. And they essentially raped the country of its values, of its people, of its products. And they sat like rulers in place, not with the slightest intention of moving, until a little man came along that's known as the Mahatma, the Mahatma, the great soul, Mohandas Gandhi. And with values that were referred to by as Ahimsa, which means compassion or nonviolence, and Satyagraha, clinging to the truth, a little man in a diaper and a stick with no guns, threw the British out of India. Now, if anybody wondered about the power of non-resistance, the power of giving ourselves up and our own defense to that which essentially owns the universe, is the universe in action, is not easily understood when we value cultural values which are all about self-defense, self-promotion, protecting ourselves. So when we hear Isaiah saying, "I gave my beard to those who would pluck it. I accepted the reviling and the despising of my neighbors. I bore all that with equanimity." Now, this is the destiny of prophets, and it's also the prefiguring of what will come in the form of the Messiah. The psalmists, some of the psalms are heartrending expressions of the isolation and loneliness of someone who has awakened from the dream of separation and is living in the wholeness of God's love, in the wholeness of God's universe. Because this is one presence and one power in the universe and in every one of our lives, and it is God the good, omnipotent. Omnipotent. resorting to our own powers to defend ourselves, resorting to our own powers of argument to justify our behaviors and explain ourselves, to try to get people to agree with us, is the most flawed behavior there is. The entire Sermon on the Mount is about what could be summed up in the words ahimsa and non-resistance, clinging to the truth that God is one. In Him there is no other. Clinging to the understanding of ahimsa, compassion for that who, the one who acts other to me. If I act other back to Him, if I resist His resistance, if I accuse His accusations, we're both caught in the trap of duality. Now, duality is the appearance of things to the senses. It looks like otherness is out there, and I-ness is in here. But when we begin to understand, we understand that the dual appearance, the appearance of duality, is about as thin as the reflection on the surface of a pond. And the depth of water beneath it is the reality. And so not to emulate reality, but to instead walk the walk with God, is what this gift of Easter is all about. Jesus demonstrated it, the prophets demonstrated it, prefigured it, and time again, the odds changed when people understood that God is our protector. God is our Father, and He's the Father of those who appear to be our adversaries too. To have compassion for the one that looks like other, that may be persecuting me now, is counterintuitive, because the reaction of defense wants to come. It's been there since we were little kids. We learned to copy it on the playground. If you made it through eighth grade, you've been through some pretty rough stuff. You've seen how kids can attack and be mean and like little wolves gather onto the weak ones. We've learned to protect ourselves. Our culture teaches us that. Our religion teaches us to let God protect us, to cling to the reality of His oneness, His love, and His power, to act on His behalf in love as best we can, bearing all things, enduring all things, believing all things, hoping all things, because we know the One is bigger, greater, deeper, fuller, and more powerful than any possible appearance. Now you notice that Isaiah says, God has given me a well-trained tongue. That means he wasn't born like that. That means he learned what he had to know. He did it through the cause and effect experiences of seeing the fruits of one way of action and seeing the fruits of another way of action. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to go out and heroically become prophets or heroically give ourselves up to death for the sake of truth. It happens in the smallest moments of our daily lives, when we don't answer back a partner, when we don't explain ourselves, when we feel misunderstood. But make enough space between us to let the truth show itself, to let the truth reveal itself, to let the power of God justify us if we're to be justified, or to change circumstances if they need to be changed. Now this, of course, is not easy. As I said, it's counterintuitive, countercultural, and yet it's truth. And satyagraha, sat truth, clinging to truth, is what makes us free. Not to be caught in somebody else's reactivity and drawn into their struggles helplessly, caught in the vortex of cause and effect, and cause and effect, and cause and effect, action, reaction, sowing and reaping, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That never got anybody out of anything. Just made more ripples in the pond, more confusion for the culture, more confusion for me. A heart that's had God's word written on it is not afraid to be opposed, is not afraid to be accused, is not afraid to be misunderstood, but instead values the truth so much that she or he is willing to, quote, die for it. And what I mean by die is, in that moment, it feels like death itself if you're not understood. Some of the struggles that we've been through in our marriage to bring love and Christ and truth to us have been amazing. Difficult forbearance, wanting to answer back, wanting to explain, and yet somehow knowing that there was more to it than meets the eye. There have been times where Paul talks about being kind to someone who has just been mean to you is like heaping hot coals on their head. There was a time when I was married to another person, and in a quarrel, I said something cruel. That person didn't answer me back. They just looked at me with love. Oh my God, I've never felt so low in my life. I could see me. I could hear my own ugly words. And on the countless occasions when she had answered back, I couldn't hear it. I couldn't see me because I was being attacked and I had to defend. It was in her silent acceptance, her silent looking at me and knowing there was more to me than she was seeing, that I knew there was more to me too that I wasn't accessing. It was humbling to see that power. I've seen it from the other way too when I haven't answered back, struggling not to, struggling and remembering truth as best I could. Sometimes I failed at it. Sometimes I didn't. And each time I didn't, that tongue was becoming more and more well-trained. Betrayals happen to everybody. Betrayals of trust, betrayals of relationships, they happen to everybody. The Psalms are filled with the laments of human beings who have been betrayed. This is not a big deal in terms of the human condition. It happens all the time and everywhere. Now, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to get lost and collapse and fall down and curse our outcast fate? Or are we going to have compassion for the person that betrayed the trust, that betrayed the intimacy? It's a truly human occasion. But to rise to a divine level of responding is the offering Christ makes to us. Is not to live from the human values that have kept our culture at war for all of known history, but to bring another kind of vertical knowing to this, the right now presence of the living one, who heals our wounds, raises us from the deadness of reactivity, opens our eyes to the truth, the reality that he is one, everywhere present, and inescapably loving us. To be his daughters and sons is optional. It's an option that requires exercising in the ordinary moments of every ordinary day. Mohandas Gandhi, Mahatma, the great soul, cast the most powerful nation on the earth out of India without a gun, without a gunshot. We have a current example. We have the witness of the saints and the martyrs. Some of them died. Some of them were sawed in half. Ezekiel was sawed in half. Terrible things happened to their physicality. But do you think they were worried about that? No. They were living in the oneness. They were living from the oneness. And they knew, you can take my body, but you can't get near me. I belong to the one. He fights my battles for me. He makes my way safe and straight. He straightens everything out with those that seem to oppose me. If I live as his son, if I live from his oneness and toward compassion for all the beings that in this world don't seem to line up with my way of seeing, what a rich and wonderful privilege it is to enter into faith with Christ and to walk his walk in the midst of our daily life. He set the stage with the precedent of the cross and the resurrection. But now we don't have to wonder, will I survive this? Is this going to be okay? Faith tells us all we have to do is walk the way he walked. How it goes for him is how it goes for us. So behind every one of our crises, behind every one of those little moments when we have to make a choice as to what kind of person we want to be, because that's what we're doing, you know, we're creating ourselves with every single choice we make. In every one of those occasions, there's a resurrection to follow. New insight, new feeling of self, new feeling of life, and new power to remain even deeper in the one while all the stuff that goes on the stage of history goes on just like it always has. And we find it not exceptional to be opposed, to be betrayed, to have hate or disgust returned for love. All of that's very ordinary. When we make ourselves icons of specialness, I shouldn't be treated this way. Do you know who I am? We kill ourselves. We kill ourselves. When we belong to God, that's what happens to everybody. Nobody understands anybody in this world of Babel. And so joining Christ in his way is joining in nonviolence, joining in compassion for the humans who are around us, and clinging, satyagraha, clinging to the truth. God is one. He is present. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. And he fights my battles for me. I cleave to him. Gandhi was very inspired by the Christian scriptures. He said the only trouble he had with Christianity was that he'd never met one. I'd like to think this church is filled with people who aspire to show one. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.